Conan.
What up?
I've got a public service announcement.
Really? You're leaving the show?
No.
All right.
No. K100 with Conan Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed. Want to hear about Get Blitzed?
I know about it, but go ahead.
Get Blitzed was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thug South, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. This is the real deal THC and not the garbage you sell at the gas stations. It's super potent, like THC on steroids. It has only a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon, and it's perfect for the weekend, for relaxing, for a party, and there's no hangover. You can take the teaspoon by itself, mix it with water, soda, juice, energy drink, whatever you want. Flavors like cherry and grape are both delicious either way. So go to getblitz.com and use the code K100 to get 15% off. Now, I've been using this product, and it's fantastic. On my days off, I like to go out and either like do like a long bike ride or a hike or go to the gym and do cardio. And afterwards, I get a nice meal, and it's late in the afternoon. I like to take a teaspoon, and bro, it's so relaxing. Do you use it? What products do you use this? I love the grape. I use the grape.
I love this thing. Then again, I've been using cannabis in one form or another for since I was like 12. I like this a lot because it doesn't bring you down hard. It's a really calm effect when you come down. I love the piña colada. I love the grape. Yeah, those two are the ones that I like, my favorites. And so I'll put it in anything from Sprite to orange juice to some Grey Goose. It mixes well with everything. And like I'm trying to get off blunts, which I love because it's bad for your lungs, just as almost as bad as cigarettes. So I've been trying to get more into liquids and edibles. Yeah, so you can't go wrong with this. I mean, the real deal, we wouldn't be using it and we would not be promoting it.
Yeah, so if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitz now at getblitzed.com and use our code K100 to get 15% off. So order, enjoy, and let us know on Twitter or k100questions@gmail.com how your experience was. That's 15% off with the code K100 at getblitz.com.
Yeah, and what makes it so special is, like Disco said before, nano-infused, which is basically nano-emulsification technology. So it breaks the THC into smaller particles for faster absorption, right? Dude, I'm on Blitz right now. So, but anyways, get high, stay happy, functioning, get blitzed, boom.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
We be jumping.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Just act like you know, and homie, stop rocking.
Can't be stopping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's and the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks, making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Shackled up like a nut, going 5150. G'd up in the feet up, creased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop, straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Calma de un momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Kelly to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo man, that boy don't play. It's in my N-I-A-K, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, don't get sprayed.
We be dropping,
bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Don't say nothing,
bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
We be dropping,
bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Just act like you know.
Next is one of our favorite accounts, Germany French fries. And the subject is Germany French fries.
Tremendous.
Subject is the M stands for Mark. WWE is starting this really cool YouTube thing that has two or more wrestlers rewatching a classic match they had together, just the old Punk and Randy Orton. They really do. They do that? That's actually a pretty cool idea. Right. It was awesome, but man, CM Punk stands for Complete Mark Punk. I mean, he knew every detail of every segment they had done leading into the match. He knew all the angles, all the dates, knew what everyone else in the card was doing, etc. So my question for you guys is, obviously Conan Disco in this, what's it like for you guys to work out a match with a guy that's a total mark like that? I mean, Punk kept saying, quote, I wanted to prove myself, quote, over and over, but when the show is already sold out, the money is great. Does working with someone that takes themselves so seriously become a negative or a positive? And before Disco insults me for asking a question, I don't work in the wrestling business, so don't assume that I should know the answer to this. In fact, you know what? The question is for Conan. Let's just let's go ahead and suspend. We're going to suspend Germany franchise.
Germany franchise. That's tremendous.
For a week, for that's blatantly disrespecting you there.
I'll let you answer that first. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't care. He says the question is for you. I'm going to answer this. There's nothing. First of all, it's obvious. Park has photographic memory. Okay, right. Which is people they can recall. There's a handful of people like that in the world, and there's not a lot of them. But they always did well in school, and like there's like a Sean. Like remember Sean McVay?
Right.
Remember, oh, the guy can remember plays right. from like
years ago.
Yeah, it's like you know. So some people just have an excellent memory like that. There's nothing right. markish about that. But bro, usually
you know who's like that, bro? Who? Meltzer and Kahn, Tony Kahn.
Is he up there photographic
yeah,
memory with like snatch with him?
Yes, yes.
So so what else? What I'll say is that I feel like you work with guys that are kind of markish and stuff. Bro, they're usually good at the business. I mean, like guys that are really the mark out and stuff. And they're you know their attention to detail. They want to be. They're just. There's nothing wrong with that. We're doing
the exact. It's actually a plus. The only thing is sometimes people can get out of hand. Like I'll give you an example. DDP could sometimes get out of hand by writing everything out.
Right. Yeah.
Wanting to go
too
over
much
it.
Detail. Like, right.
That's a little bit too much. You know.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, look at where it got him. You know, nobody could deny that he was the hardest working guy in that locker room.
Yeah.
When there was a lot of hardworking guys, like we all were all busting our ass, but he was going extra. You know, sometimes like you can take yourself a little too seriously, like low key, right?
Right.
But in general, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, but if you work with low keys, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing that's got to understand. Like, I'm not, we're still professional wrestlers. Like, right. you were kind of marks for the business too, but we're in the business.
Yeah, but I'm not, I don't go as far as Punk. Like, I don't, all the shit you just said, like how they led up to the match and who was on the match.
Right.
And I didn't even remember back then, much less now. So, but I'm envious. I'm envious of guys like Punk and Meltzer and Khan because I wish I could retain that knowledge, you know?
Right. Next is some Billy Carpenter, subject to his retirement. There's A&E documentary. Roman said that by the time of 2020 pre-pandemic, he was financially secure enough that he would have been able to retire and really not need to work again or even do anything creative. He didn't want to do, was able to say no to Vince McMahon. I mean, it's been confirmed that Roman never wanted to work Bill Goldberg in Mania 36 and literally walked out of WWE during the recording of it. My question for Conan is, what's it like for you to be booking the talent that doesn't need to do what you want them to? I mean, if someone has, say, $5 to $7 million in the bank, they don't really need to panic about not getting paid for the night. Bonus question for all three. While CM Punk versus Roman, The Rock versus Roman, Cody versus Roman 3 are all giant stadium matches we might get over the next 12 months. Do you think that Roman might retire soon after? I can't even imagine the cash he's made since 2020. He deserves it all, though. No jealousy here. Bro, what is Roman? Why would Roman retire?
Right.
He literally, here's his schedule, okay? He flies in on a private jet. He gets there like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He does his spiel, and he gets on the jet after the show and flies home. And all but 12 times he had to wrestle. Like, he's usually just cutting promos and stuff. Why would you? What are you retiring from? That's actually like a retirement. Fly back that night.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to come to every Raw. He doesn't have to do every house show. And, he, right. and the other thing is WWE is very smart about that because not everybody gets that treatment. So it's like a dangling carrot. If you ever get to this position, this is how you're going to get treated. Like I remember when I first went to WWE, you know, Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, Hogan, and I forgot who else had their own dressing room. And they had a 24-hour limo thing, and everybody wanted that, you know?
Right.
So, like, now you see guys that have their own buses, you know? But, yeah, why would he retire, bro? He's getting paid. He doesn't have to work that much. They take care of him. He's in good storylines. He's working with his cousins and his family. I don't see any reason why Roman would retire unless they gave him, like, a big Hollywood deal to make a movie.
And I don't know what he's talking about where he's like, Roman walked out. He didn't want to work with Goldberg. I'm like, I don't remember any of that. It's the beginning of COVID and Roman pulled out of the WrestleMania match with Goldberg because he's got fucking leukemia. And he was immunocompromised. That's as far as I know.
Next is some giant Farouk and the subject is he wrong?
But just so you know, the guy that wrote this, you're always going to get guys that don't want to work with other guys. And that's when you got to go in there and try to convince two people that are at odds to do what's best for the business and not best for their ego, right? And that can be very hard because I've had to deal with, and I've seen other people deal with it a lot of times.
Next from Giant Farut. Subject is he wrong? You guys did a great job covering CM Punk in the MMA Hour, and I'm happy you guys got some big YouTube numbers for it. But what I would like to know from these three, mostly Conan, is you think CM Punk might be in the wrong here? Conan said he's stated many times that Tony Khan's a very, very sensitive little boy, and Punk had to know that saying this stuff would hurt Khan's little, tiny, fragile baby feelings. The reason I asked him was in the wrong, if he's in the wrong ends, while I didn't like his AEW run, CM Punk made a lot of money there, and Punk has even stated that before AEW, he was in some financial trouble. Really?
Did he say that? Like it was a, I don't, I've never read that.
I have never heard that at all.
Joe.
Well, look that up.
So he was getting
I never heard of that either.
So now, only did Tony Khan help with his money issues, he really helped him with his money issues. He really helped him with his money issues. Is CM Punk in the wrong to be taking shots at Tony Khan? Okay, this is flagged for potential misinformation until we get the facts on this.
Okay, but let me, I would still like to comment.
Right.
So I always go by if he did my ass, you know, he did my ass wrong, so I did his ass right. And by that, I mean this. If Tony wouldn't have done something to piss him off, he wouldn't have done that. It's almost when I look at like when they go, oh, all these girls are ganging up on Puff Daddy or they're ganging up on Bill Cosby. And I always think to myself, putting money issues aside that maybe they're trying to get rich off of this, how much of a dick's must somebody be that all these people are attacking you? You know what I'm saying? So who knows behind the scenes what conversations he had with Tony, what Tony did to piss him off. Bro, he basically said, you're a clown, I quit. Those were his words.
Right.
How did he get to that mentality?
Yeah, I don't see anything about Punk.
Yeah, I doubt he was having financial problems. Yeah. I doubt he was having financial problems. He probably saw a guy that he could walk all over. That and he did it, you know, and that's a bad thing about this business. When you try to be a nice guy, instead of people appreciating it, they take advantage of it.
Right.
And I've been the victim of that. That's why I'm so difficult to work with a lot of times, because I've been done wrong so many times. When you think somebody's out there, they're doing the right thing, sooner or later they expose themselves. Very few straight up guys in this business. It's a cutthroat business, and that's how it is.
Coney, guess what?
What up?
This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? That's a lot, if you think about it. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. Now think about that. That's young men. Mm-hmm. With April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, the friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS, capital TCS, to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use promo code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. With that being in mind, yo, you can perform simple routine checks, you know, self-checks at home while enjoying Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It makes sense, right? We use products daily to trim and maintain our boys down there. And the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra features two interchangeable skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a load off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth and sleek. These are perfect. With dual LED spotlights, you'll achieve better visibility, making every trim more precise and hassle-free. And you don't like making a mess? Well, this thing is waterproof. You can turn the water on while you're doing the shower, shave in the shower, in the bath, or even in, if you want to, Conan, if you want to go to the beach in San Diego and use your Manscaped, you can do that in the ocean.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. And you can bring this trimmer wherever you go. Thanks to the wireless changing capabilities and travel lock features, you can take your Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 to AAA tapings. Isn't that great?
Yes, that's very great.
Keep it nice and shiny.
In addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfortable, easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness through support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That is why they'll be donating $50,000. Holy smokes. Boy, that's a lot. Help save lives and balls by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny educational check yourself video. And while you're at it, grab 20% off for free shipping with the code K100. That's K100. Because like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your chicken, your balls, and your mentals. That's Manscaped, manscaped.com/K100.
Yeah, this is our best-selling product. You know, we highly recommend it for everybody. We have a lot of the boys in the business that use it. We use it ourselves. And the great thing about this product is they're talking about for your pubic hair and all that. You can use it under your arms, you can use it on your legs, on your chest, on your back, on your head, on your face. So this new one that they just came out with, the Lawnmower 5.0, is incredible. Gets a really good shave. I use it every day. And the great thing, it comes with a nice leather bag, not some cheap plastic bag. It comes with some nice briefs, the most comfortable briefs I've ever tried on. It's just an incredible thing, you know, so...
Don't forget the Crop Reviver, you know. The warmer months are coming up, so you got to get that Crop Reviver going on, the Crop Preserver, get all your sprays and moisturizers going on.
Yeah, Joe used to suffer from swamp ass, but he doesn't anymore because of this Crop Preserver.
Right.
So,
And as you can see, Friday or Thursday, you know, we were there together. I smelled terrific. Remember you said you smelled pretty
good? I want to make a beat.
So get yourself smelling good. They've got fragrances. They've got deodorants. Keep your beard trimmed. Keep your shit trimmed downstairs. Keep your hair trimmed. Smell nice. We got deodorant. Got the Crop Preserver. We take care of you 360. Boom. Check it out at Manscaped.
Next is a Matthew Ortiz. The subject is Matt. Does Disco... Subject is... Why is the subject Matt? Does Disco have any comment on the random shot Larry took at him on X? So somebody tweeted, Rob Viper said, sorry, I lived through the Diesel Razor Ramon are returning to Raw next week. Nelly Coleman Huckabee, Midget Bret Hart, Tammy Fitch, Marisol, Stone Cold getting shot, etc. The Rob Viper tweet. I don't know. Oh, you got this? What's that tweet from? What is Rob referring to?
Just right now,
what could anyone say? Bischoff was king of this shit. Russo is king of swerves. Conan books company I work for where no shows are expected in that country. Disco is a moron. None of his critics have anything. If he just drops the actual video, he'd be first to deliver. I don't know what he's talking about here.
Talking about Rob Viper's commenting on the AEW airing whatever from All In.
What? I don't understand still.
As in,
Joe, explain.
You're saying sorry, I lived through blah 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 these different eras. He's referring to times where WWE promised something and didn't necessarily deliver. So Larry Dallas's response is like, well, if Tony does it, he'll be the first to have done it. I guess he's referring to Bischoff teasing things in WCW or Russo doing the same. So that's why he's shitting on them. But I don't know where the Disco swipe comes from.
Why do we care? I don't value his opinions on things like that well. So next is from Hornet Gallowager. Substitute is RIP. During a media interview for WrestleMania weekend, Nick Khan, the only Khan that matters in the wrestling business, has confirmed that before the end of 2024, the WWE Network will be no more as the company begins their deal with Netflix. As a mark, it annoys me because I love the fact they can be all hungover and chill out in bed watching some classic content. I mean, Conan's entire ECW and WCW's on there. Original documentaries plus those older Raws would include all the post-show stuff that didn't make it to TV, but $5 billion is $5 billion, so I get it. My question for you guys is, why do you think the WWE Network never really took off? Apparently, the service peaked at 1.8 million paying subscribers, but for a streaming service, it's not good at all. I loved it. I think it was the greatest idea of all time, but I'd love to know why you guys, especially Conan, think it was never a massive success. Wait a second. 1.8 million times 10 is what? 10.8 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's 10.8 million times 12? It's like 130 million.
Yeah, 120. I mean, 100, yeah,
that's 130. $130 million of income.
Joe should know that. He's a math whiz. He aced the ASVAB and he was going to. Nothing, Joe.
I was much younger and quicker.
That's a weird question. I don't know.
Old, you're a drunker, yeah.
Shit.
Next is some Harrison Yanger, and the subject is pay your own way. Lately, even total shills like Conrad Thompson and Dave Meltzer have been pointing out how in the TV show world.
What was the question here? I don't understand.
I don't
Am I that high that I don't even know what's going on anymore?
I don't really know what's going on here either.
George,
I
answered it. So why do you think the WM never really took off?
Right,
generating like $130 million of income each year or something like that. Or on top, I don't know. What do you mean? I don't.
Compared to what they're getting right now, well, there's your answer, right?
I mean, they say it never really took off, but the network has the pay per views every month. So,
and I think even before Peacock, it was kind of progressively going up too. Because remember, they wanted a million, and then they broke a million, and then they wanted, you know. I don't ever recall thinking it wasn't a success, but maybe I'm in the bubble. I don't know.
So how is the network?
Yeah, I think it was a success. This guy, Hornet, is that his name?
Hornet Gallowager.
All right. Hornet, is your name. Okay. So I just think that it was a success. Just how do you out-succeed Netflix and why do you not go somewhere where they're going to pay you more? You know, so I think it was a success.
Okay. Guy has a brief clip here. for us to watch. It's from Raider 316 and the all hailed and worshiped ROH. Hey guys, here's a brief clip from an ROH event.
They pulled it. It's not available anymore.
Oh, they did? I guess it was a terrible spot. And so forget it one more.
I'll see if I can find another one.
Hey, K100 crew, I'm going to go ahead and suspend myself, but I want to know if you guys thought the same. Anna Jay is the hottest chick in wrestling. She's not bad in the ring, but they have her counting lights every night. Before the Jack Perry punk issue, she had more TV time was winning matches. Now I don't think she has won one match since. Do you guys say she has heat now due to Jack? I hope her contract is up so she would fit perfect for NXT. Didn't she used to be in NXT?
No.
She never has been, huh?
No.
But the other girl did, the one that married Sammy, used to be in NXT, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Conti.
Yeah, Anna Jay still has potential, but she's going to get out of AEW to see. Yeah. Bro, yeah, you shouldn't be beating. The hottest chick on the show should not be just doing jobs every night. That's stupid, you know?
Yeah, there's a couple of people there that I think would do better in WWE. Mm-hmm. And she's one of them. And I don't think she has heat because of the Perry thing. It's just normal, nonsensical AEWs, what I would call it. But yeah, she has everything to be a huge star, and her value's not going up, staying there.
Right. Next one's from
look at how fast they made Jade a star over there.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Conan, guess what?
Yo, what up?
We got some great news.
All right.
The Legacy Test Stack and the Legacy Ultimate Test Stack are back in stock for LegacySubs.com. And I'm sure our boy Nick Aldis, who ruptured a biceps tendon, is going to be stacking up on the Legacy Test Stack and the Ultimate Test Stack to rehabilitate his injury. Do you think he might be doing that?
For sure.
Well, this product has been proven to be so popular, the Legacy has been out of stock for almost a month. So if you've been on the fence about trying their best-selling stack for safety and naturally optimizing your testosterone levels, don't hesitate. The modern world is full of harmful chemicals that lower your testosterone, and the best way to fight back is to make sure you're naturally stimulating your body's own natural testosterone production at all times. Healthy testosterone levels account for more strength and more energy, that's obvious. Also, a healthier sex drive and better sleep. A lot of people probably didn't know that. So invest in your health and performance now and order the Legacy Ultimate Test Stack at LegacySubs.com. And remember to use the code K100. It's the number one discount code used for LegacySubs.com to get a 10% discount and support the show. That's LegacySubs.com. Level up with Legacy. All of our friends, if they get it, don't forget, reorder if you're running out. And for all our newbies that are listening to this, we've got great testimonials from our followers that have been using this. They've been losing weight, feeling better, getting more muscular. It's great products there by our boy Nick Aldis and LegacySubs.com.
Right. And there's a reason why this is their best-selling thing. We've been doing business with them for 3 years. You know, the Test X9 is like an optimizer. So like he said, it helps with libido. It helps with your energy levels. It helps with your workouts. I mean, you know, testosterone. That's why guys over 40 years old are just running to get the TRT therapy. You know what I'm saying? Because right. It works. So we use these products ourselves. You can't go wrong with them. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom.
Yeah. Next is of Wayne Grohlfein, something's hardy. Question for Conan. Just finished watching Matt Hardy's interview on Chris Van Fleet's show, and during it he mentioned that his hope is for the Hardys to get a tag title run and keep wrestling for at least another 2 to 3 years. I'm not trying to get you guys to trash friends, but respectfully, do you think Matt is being a little silly here? The Hardys are a GOAT contender tag team, but it's not 2000 anymore. It's 2024, and those guys, again respectfully, look like they're in physical pain at all times. Last time I watched them wrestle in AEW, as harsh as it sounds, they're moving around so badly that it looked like a comedy match. So what I'm asking Conan is, what do you think about Matt's comments? Do you think he's thinking too big for potential WWE or AEW run, or do you think he should just retire? Another year with no K100 merch to wear to WrestleMania? Well, dude, you can buy the merch, you cheap fuck. Buy the merch, yo. What are we supposed to do? This guy want us to send him merch to wear at the shows for free?
I don't have any.
Yeah.
Wayne.
Yeah. For sure. Like, he sounds like he's begging for free merchandise. Does it sound like that?
I think we should make a K100 belt, and I get most of the proceeds. This is my idea, because I think people would wear it. I could not believe how many belts guys were wearing, and not just WrestleMania, different bullshit.
Yeah. Here's the problem with the Hardys. They still have value, okay, because there's their name.
Right.
They've lost, their stock took considerable hit going to AEW.
Right.
Plus, you know, if they get in the WWE system again, they'll work with producers and other performers that will have the respect of like protecting their limitations out there.
And WWE legends, bro.
Right. AEW runs it. You know what AEW's like? Here's the problem. Is there's like three vinyl speeds of an album. 45, 33, and 78. Okay. AEW is like all the matches are at 78 speed. Well, the Hardys are at 33. You know, like now they can do drama and stuff, but they can't move around like all these other guys that are running circles around doing all these spots. But they can wrestle. If you're at 33 speed, you can wrestle somebody at 45 speed. You know, they can adjust. But these cats, you know, they're in the wrestling private party and the
you might need to modernize your syntax.
Right.
You might have to modernize your syntax because I doubt, unless you're older, people know what you mean by 33 and 45 and 78 speeds.
Okay. So on albums, if you put the album on the thing, 78 speed is real fast. It goes over fast. And the songs sound like this. If you play this, that's like if you take a 45 album.
Sounds like 45 records.
Yeah. And it goes real fast. Perfect example. 78 is like listening to Ben Shapiro. Okay. Right. 45 is like listening to me.
Right.
Okay. And 33 is like listening to like who would be like some red, you know, slow talking redneck with the draw or something.
JJ Dillon.
Yeah, like JJ Dillon, right? You know, that's the difference. That's the swing from Paris.
Yeah.
But the Hardys can be, bro, they just have to be protected in the ring. Right. Not exposed if they have limitations.
The great thing about WWE, this is something I respect them when they want to do it right, is they respect people that were there before and they come back, right? And they want them to finish their story nicely, right? Like it isn't like before. I think if the Hardys came back and they put them in the right program, they don't push them too much physically, and they don't have to do much. They're already legends. It's like CM Punk. CM Punk doesn't have to do much anymore. He's CM Punk. Just tell a good story. He doesn't have to. But you know who's a great person that they could work with?
Who?
Borash.
Yeah, you're right.
They would do some killer shit. They did killer shit in Impact, you know?
I mean, he helped produce and make them the most relevant thing in professional wrestling.
Right.
Remember that?
They were the biggest thing in wrestling.
Dude, Impact was drawing like 250,000 fans each week or something like that.
Right.
When they had the final, what was it called? The final what? The final
deletion.
The final deletion. They drew like 400,000 people.
Yeah.
Like the rating for that thing went up.
And everybody was talking about him, and everybody's going, delete.
And that was just for the production.
And Matt Hardy actually came on the show, if you remember.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
Yes, it's a disparage mark for you. People should look that up. Hilarious episode.
This is a good one here because it's interesting because ask what, you know, the basics here. But this is funny. Next one's from Ben. The subject is Will Ospreay. What's up, K100? Will Ospreay came in as part of the Don Callis family. Now he wrestles against him every week. Could I miss the promos, the beatdowns? Why is he out of the faction? My AEW fan friend tells me I'm not picking up the nuanced storytelling.
Of course.
What am I missing?
You're not picking up on it because there is none.
Well, because the storytelling is so bad, you can't figure out what's going on. Or
right.
Why
there is no nuance. Yeah, he's using the incorrect word. Right.
Here's the nuance. But see, if you literally want to tell the story, okay, here's the story of Will Ospreay right now. Will Ospreay is on TV to have good matches.
Right.
And he's going to wrestle everybody that thinks he's going to have a good match.
And they're pushing him as a tar, one of their top stars.
Right. But you're like the direction of your character. It's like your character hasn't shown any interest in winning a title or challenge thing. Your character is just interested out there going to have good matches.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, that's fine. But like, I guess that's a story that I see. Now, if they're this telling a different story and I'm not picking up on it, they got to do. They got to be more nuanced to tell that story. So.
You know, it's almost like anything else. Disco, if you go back and you look at the ruminations, tremendous word for Latino while on a podcast, is that remember like those things like the battle of the Super 8 and like the King of Indies and San Francisco and all that? Mm-hmm. Like that kind of started that whole we want to have the best match, we want to have, and that all started the PWG. And every year that niche audience has grown, right, to what it is now, which is about 800,000 people for AEW on TV, right? And I don't know how many in pay-per-views, but they usually do good there too. And these are people that just want to see good matches, right? But I remember that I was reading this thing in Eric Bischoff's book where they were asking about what is it that they like the most about wrestling? They had one of those focus groups you probably did in WCW.
Right.
And that they were asking, is it the good matches? Is it the interviews? And people were like, no, it's everything, the whole wrestling experience. When you're only giving people one part of it with little doses of the other parts, they're not really getting the whole wrestling experience. Because the whole wrestling experience to me should not be just great matches.
Right.
It's good storytelling. It's rivalries. It's, bro, look at this thing with the stand, with the rankings. How has that in any way helped the product?
None at all.
It just makes things more complex.
Especially, okay, it's such nonsense.
The other thing is that they make, like, how many times, and they've been in business for 5 years, so they get zero breaks from me now. How many times have we said this is not a main event worthy match and they keep doing it? 5 years, you don't get it yet?
Yeah.
People have been telling you, you know. So the other thing, how many times do we not have packages before a match to keep you interested? Another thing, why don't they have a fucking cold opening at the beginning? They did it a couple times and right. We put them over. We were like, wow, what a, you know, this is great. It's about time they stopped that. They
well, just most of the writing is the day of the show.
They just mentioned in a press release, says Yakazaki or somebody like that, that's the reason to, what? Just, who is that?
I have no idea.
Right.
Next is from William Molina Jr., not a wrestling question. Women's NCAA LSU versus Iowa.
Hello, and as far as this guy, the Will Ospreay guy, did I miss the beating? Did I miss the, no, you didn't miss anything. They've done nothing to explain this. Right. Why is he fighting people of his own thing?
Yeah, and even Don Callis can't even come out there and explain it with any logic whatsoever. Yeah, you know, exactly. Like to make you interested, right?
Right.
And how could he?
Right.
You know,
It almost feels like, remember that time Don Callis came out and he tried to explain, he tried to like reverse engineer the reason why that the ring didn't blow up because him and Kenny were behind it.
Right.
Remember? I was like, good try, my friend.
Hello, K100 Clue. I don't closely follow NCAA basketball, men's or women's, but I came across an article highlighting significant backlash against the LSU women's basketball head coach with figures like Shannon Sharpe and Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry. Additionally, star player Angel Reese was receiving death threats and being sexualized since last year's NCAA championship win. I have several questions about this. Why is the head coach facing intense scrutiny over what was described as a classic game? And number two, why did Angel choose the post-loss press conference to share her personal struggles over last year, which are undoubtedly severe, instead of a formal interview at a major news network? I can't answer any of this because I don't watch any of this stuff. Did you watch it? You anything?
Well, you know, the LSU coach, he's been known to be very hard, like on their training. You know, she pushes him more than other coaches do. So she kind of got a bad rap for that. And then she also came out and because, you know, a lot of these girls are like lesbians or bisexual, and she's like, you know, don't put out there what your sexual orientation is. I think one of the girls on her team was
Angel Reese.
No, not Angel Reese. I don't know how what was that girl that was in Russia? Brittany Griner. Yeah. She was very outspoken on that. Why should girls have to hide their sexual orientation? And that, you know, she suffered a lot of bullying because of it. You know, couple players came to the, what's her name? Mokoki? What's her name? The one from LSU, the basketball coach? Mulkey?
I think so.
Kim Mulkey.
Right. So she was just basically saying that, especially like if you were at a Catholic school or you were trying to like, you know, recruit certain players that they should hide their sexual orientation. A lot of people are against it, especially Brittany Griner. And they also said that she had that problem with, I think the Los Angeles Times came out with a hit piece on her. She's been getting a lot of heat for a lot of stuff that she's been saying. Let me see. There was something else I wanted to tell you about this. What was the other girl's name?
Angel Reese.
Well, I think that Angel Reese didn't have an open forum because the girl that was next to her, the one with the two little fucking, she was a high scorer. I think she's Hawaiian. She had the two little Afro puffs. And she was saying, hey, it isn't fair the way they've treated, you know, is it Angel or Angela?
Angel.
It isn't fair the way she's been treated, the way people have been bullying her, the people have been taking shots at her. And that's when she like started to cry because the other girl brought it up. It wasn't, she brought it up. The other girl brought it up.
What do you mean? Like
drama, female drama, well, like, you know.
You know, a lot of people can't handle being public figures. You know, I mean, that's in a nutshell. Honestly, you know, I can't reiterate this enough. You, when you have issues with stuff like that, you're voluntarily going on social media. I know people that don't do social media. You cannot do social. You can actually not turn, you know, delete your Instagram and your Twitter. You can get rid of all that and not have to deal with it. But these people would rather deal with it and get emotional about it and talk about how they're being abused and stuff. It's like crazy. It's like, it's, I don't know. It's just, that's a weird flex for me to comprehend people that like have these problems on social media. And it's like if I keep going to the same bar and I got a DUI, like I'm not going to keep going to that bar and drinking a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's like you change your behaviors if things are like affecting your life. And it's like, you know, I don't know.
Well, you got to remember, bro, these girls, you know, they're 17, 18, 19 years old. Half their life, everybody's putting them over, you know, and now they, you know, the bigger your name is, the more attention you have on you and the more people that like to troll and hate for whatever reason, you know, they're trolling and hating on you and you don't know how to deal with it. You know, I mean, they're still kids, dude.
I know. Next is from some guy. Something's new WWE show.
Plus, I also remember one thing. If you remember, Angel Reese was getting a lot of heat. Because if you remember last year, remember she got in Caitlyn's face?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Caitlyn had done it before. Nobody said shit about that. Right. But when she got in her face, people made a big deal of it. Yeah.
Hey, Kevin and our crew, WWE announced that we started a show where wrestlers will need to defeat each other in 3 minutes or less called WWE Speed. My question is, can any superstar benefit from this or is it a detriment? I'm completely not interested. Why? This is for just more content.
I actually saw one match. It was Ricochet versus somebody.
And it was like style, basically, right?
Yeah. So when I saw it, this is what I thought. This is not definitely for everybody.
Right. But
there's about 15 guys that no lucha can do the quick style that this would, you know, they would do good in.
You could find an audience for this. Well, look,
right.
It's only, how long do guys have to fucking wrestle? Right. 3 minutes.
Right. Maybe not even 3 minutes.
Right. You could tell the guys, hey, can you do speed tonight? Yeah, sure. Well, it's only 3 minutes. Right. Who can't do a 2 minute match, right?
Right.
You know, just basically it's just one big giant high spot. And it's actually probably pretty, I imagine the matches are probably pretty cool looking. You know?
Right, you could get probably half the guys from NXT, half the guys. There's a lot of people that could do that style. So let's see, because we're doing something similar. We'd already thought of something like that like 2 years ago, and we're just waiting on this new deal to come down to do it in Mexico. But we'll be doing it soon, yeah.
That's a hell of a deal. All right, well, that's been our mailbags.
Boom.